And then you say, let me in, and the thing possesses you. That spirit possesses you. It was rough. Some of the writing was a little but like...
As it is in a lot of horror movies, though, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, these are such great ideas, but the shitty writing takes you out of it sometimes.
A little bit. Yeah. But it's still hard to look at, like, graphic images of, like, you know, horrible wounds and people looking so, you know...
Credit to horror movies. I don't like them that much, but they do push boundaries. Like, you'll see things in those films that you'll just never see anywhere else. And
unless you're into that kind of thing.
Right. And it's just a shocking thing.
I can't even watch, like, World Star videos.
My question, what is the upside for the people inviting the soul to possess them? Like, because it's fun?
Yes. It's kind of...
It's very fun, apparently.
At first, it seems like it's definitely an allegory for drugs.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, when you're being possessed by the spirit, you're like, essentially high and can see, like...
Okay.
You never see it from their perspective, really. But one character describes it, and you're like, damn, that sounds good.
But you just see them have this, like, out-of-body moment where they're, like, convulsing or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
and their eyes go fully black.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah. I was like, thank God I've never come into contact with this hand, because I would so be that bitch being like, you know, I really like this ghost, Marty. Fucking.
I don't know, man. I think we, like, might get a place together or something. It feels like a conduit for the choking game. You remember the choking game?
No.
This was like when kids learn how to artificially make themselves high before drugs, when you would, like, you know, take, like, hyperventilate and whatever, and then someone would choke you. You're nodding. You do know the choking game.
No, I'm just giggling because, like, this so is reflective of your history as a football player in high school. I'm like, I didn't do that gay shit.
I played 2 years of middle school ball. Yeah. But even, it was even my more friend's, so. It was my friend's older sister who invited us to the and I was like, yeah, you bet. Like, I had the biggest crush on her, so I was like,
that was my next question.
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
She's married now.
Mazel.
Yeah, mazel to them. And and actually, you know, that family we've, like, kept in touch with too. But
that's nice.
I only recently told my mom, just because she's like, I won't say the family's name, but she's like, I saw the mom at the J today, and she's like, oh, Emily's pregnant. Or, no, I just said her name. What's her name? She's pregnant. I was like, I had the biggest.
She's gonna be listening, being like, I knew, I always
knew. Of
course,
yeah, of course. It's very easy to get, like, a seventh grader to, like, you know, to choke him.
Yeah. Well, so what is this for people that aren't Emily? What? How do I explain this to people that have never heard our podcast?
Well, this is the Guantanamo-based podcast.
A Cuban cousin Kiki.
I'm Ryan Bogart.
I'm Julian Goza.
We are two cousins who talk about what happens in the island nation of Cuba, where our mothers are from.
Mm-hmm.
Julian's gay as all get out, so we talk about some queer news stories.
And
here
Brian
and
is so straight, he uses phrases like all get out.
Exactly. Hey, listen here, pal. You got another thing coming.
I feel like you're going to pull an apple out of, like, your breast pocket and carve it with the knife, like, leaning against a tree. Yeah, I'm like, the Dust Bowl, huh, boy?
Yeah, somewhere where, like, the Dust Bowl meets, like, a greaser from the 50s.
Ooh. It's
cutting an apple from.
I do love a greaser.
Isn't
aesthetic.
It crazy that, like, the Dust Bowl and greaser hit cultures, like, 20 years apart? Like, what? Something happened in the 30s. You had the Dust Bowl, you have World War II, and then we're greasers all of a sudden.
Yeah.
What's up with that progression?
Well, I think that whole culture was so expressed in pop culture,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. it was like this burgeoning middle class. I've talked about this. This
sure.
is my, like, MAGA stump speech. It's like everyone was young, going to drive-ins, and people were happy, Brian. And you saw that on the screen, just
yeah.
that kind of, and there was, and because of the boomer generation, there was this whole youth explosion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone was doing the Lindy Hop.
So that's how you get from the 30s to the 50s. Hmm.
Point, Julian. So with that said, let's go ahead and cover news from the motherland. First of all, needs to be said, our thoughts go out to the people of Cuba because Tropical Storm Idalia is bringing flooding to Cuba. A lot of flooding's been happening, like, globally, certainly, like, around coastal U.S. a ton. And, you know, Cuba is always caught in the headwinds of, like, a lot of bad floods. And
yeah.
So, you know, with that said, we'll be mindful of just what everyone's going through while we talk about these stories.
Yeah. Brian and I have become so jaded in how we choose stories because I brought in this article being like, maybe we could talk about this. And he was like, hurricane, huh? News at 11, kid. I'm tired
yeah.
of it.
Well, because also, what can you say about a hurricane, I guess?
I could say something about this hurricane.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I've been thinking of cute girl names because
as we all do whenever a hurricane comes around, as we're all trying to name our kids and see what tropical
storms are
happening.
That'd be a fun job to be like, Saffron, Hurricane Saffron.
Yeah, yeah.
But
because she bites.
Yeah. But someone that I love dearly in our family is about to have a girl, mm-hmm. or is going to have a girl eventually. And I want to help them out with a name. And I thought, Idalia, there's something there. Idalia.
And this was before Tropical Storm Idalia.
No. Oh. No. But I was like, let's name her after a hurricane.
Would you ever tell them that it came from a hurricane?
Sure.
Okay.
He's okay. A scientist.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
He'd be like, ah, yes, the wonderful wonders of hurricanes.
Yeah.
He wouldn't use a phrase.
How many died? Less than 200? That's fine. Anything above, though, it gets a little dicey.
Because it's not like Idalia was the first. It's not like the hurricane was the invention of the name Idalia. I mean, I'm sure there are also different connotations.
There are other people named Idalia.
I'm sure. None of, I don't know any.
I might have met one Idalia in my day. We never knew any Idalia.
Not me.
Yeah.
I think we had an aunt named Hilda, like H-I-L-D-A.
Hilda. I don't know. We'll have to check the archives.
Yeah, Hilda.
But in this context, I hadn't heard the name Idalia in a very, very long time until this came up.
It's a pretty name.
It is. It is. What do we think? Do we think hurricane names should be ugly or like beautiful?
Whoa, what a great philosophical question.
Yeah.
I mean,
the fact that we give them human names is already weird, right?
Yeah, but if we were to numerically categorize them, like it'd be such a slog to be like Hurricane Z4.12 is about to make landfall.
If we were evolved as a society, we would do that. You know, we would just take the emotion out of like hurricanes because now it's just like, oh, here comes Hillary, right, guys? Like, God damn it.
Well, and I like that you could project a personality onto the hurricane based on the name we gave it.
Right.
Like you saw those Hillary Duff and Hillary Clinton memes when Hurricane Hillary was making landfall.
Yeah, you bet.
I loved them.
Yeah, I share them with you.
You certainly did.
Yeah, I did. And then you said, many people have already sent me this. And I was like, all right, fuck.
Yeah, it was Hillary Duff singing, let the rain fall down. I was like, I definitely lip-synced to that, probably naked in my bathroom with my with my CD player.
That's the Hurricane Hillary we survived. We've officially survived two hurricanes.
I mean, Hillary. Do you call it a survival if I got by it easy peasy?
Well, like, survive maybe has a negative connotation. It's like,
you mean it like I survived the Jurassic Park ride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like the IBM company picnic of 99.
Got it.
Like that kind of thing.
That's cute.
Yeah, yeah. We all survived. Hillary Duff is just an IBM picnic of like a person.
Okay, Brian.
Of like a pot. Of
I'll let
like,
you paint yourself into that corner.
I don't think that's not a negative connotation. People are pretty satisfied with those functions.
Well, speaking of Hillary Duff, and then we're actually going to talk about Cuba, because you can't just light that Molotov cocktail in this gay house and expect for it to not go off. Hillary Duff is from Texas, as you know, from the Houston area. Yeah. One of my friends who transferred to our school from Houston went to summer camp with her and said she was really difficult as a teenager, which, like, duh. She don't know you shit. And
she was already Hillary Duff.
And she
point,
like had like a special cream like mailed to her that was like a very like lavish brand, apparently.
Once again, duh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Someone was like, Oprah was really mean to me at a funeral. I was like, duh. Like
a funeral. Also to think that, you know, this
my
is
friend
someone
was young
right
at the funeral. She was like 12, but still, I'm like, right. Dude, like you're gonna walk up to a tiger?
Well,
it's
you were
J-Lo
surprised
thing.
When you were mean for going up to marry Kate Olsen when you were 13. Do you want to talk about that story?
Brian and I were at the Chateau Marmont at like not 13. I think we were 14. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like young teenage years.
Yeah.
And I saw one of the Olsen twins in the
lobby.
Who
you were obsessed with. And Mary Kate was your favorite one.
I am obsessed with.
Yeah, you still are. But like these were your girls. Like this was your top.
I person. Recently said I've always identified more with Mary Kate and the three people that were sitting across me from like were like absolutely 100%.
Yeah, I always knew that.
Yeah, but I think you're more Ashley because she's more like business oriented.
Go ahead. Tell
Whereas Mary Kate is like an expressionist.
Yeah.
But so I saw this little petite woman in like grunge attire with a big wide brimmed hat, and I knew immediately from the hair that it was an Olsen twin. And so I started going, Mary Kate, Ashley, Mary Kate. Yes. Not entirely sure because she was turned profile.
Right.
But I clocked the like ragged flannel T-shirt that looked so good
that
around
only
her
an Olsen
around her small waist, and I was like,
fashion.
"It's Mary Kate." Mm-hmm. And so I was like, "Can I get a hug?" And she and her friend were walking, presumably to the restroom, and the friend grabbed her by the wrist and goes, "Mary Kate, come on!" But first, Mary Kate hugged me, and she was really sweet. And then the maitre d' of the law or whatever of that downstairs restaurant that they have there walked up to me and was like, "Do you know Mary Kate personally?" He was like this black queen. I was like, okay, bitch, game recognized game. He was like, do you know?
He was Mary huge. He was huge.
Like, well, he was tall.
Yeah.
In like a gorgeous suit.
And we were kids, you know, like so like.
Well, we were teenagers.
There was always like that like, I'm already like, oh my God, like we're so out of our depth here. Like,
but God bless my mom, who of course was with us, like footing the bill. It's not like we were there. Like, no, it's pilot season. Disney flew us out.
I remember the two questions he asked. So like, are you members of this hotel? Yes. And he's like, do you know Mary-Kate personally? And then we go, no. And then he goes, you can't be doing that. It's bad for business. And
I'll say the like, Chateau Marmont sent me like a Christmas card every year for like 10 years.
Wow.
And they stopped. I need to get another room there or something.
That's fucked.
Because we'd stay there pretty often anytime we'd. I'm just doxing myself as the richest person alive. Your
privilege is really showing right now.
Well, now I'm like a cater waiter, so.
So joke's on me. Yeah. All right, so let's get into news from the motherland.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, anything more to say on the Olsen twins? There will be.
There will be. Yeah. Undoubtedly. Congrats to Ashley and her new baby.
Oh.
I know. anyway, let's talk about what's in the title. Guantanamo Bay, let's talk about news from the motherland.
Yeah.
Beyond Italia.
So... A story reported from BBC. Cuban priests fight to claim asylum in the UK. This was a priest who was, I believe, detained or escaped during the crackdown of, like, in the protests of 2021, like the biggest anti-government protests in Cuba since the revolution. There have been a huge crackdown in kind of social protests and expression, things like that. And a lot of people have left and were seeking asylum. This priest is one of them. And the visa process, the asylum process is taking way longer than it should. And he's not the only one. Also, a lot of artists and people who like left Cuba under the guise of free speech are also like having a lot of issues getting visas and asylum status and things like that.
Yeah, I saw he wanted to start a church for Ukrainian refugees, I think, specifically.
Interesting.
That is interesting. I guess there's overlap there because they're both personally victimized by Regina George. I mean, Soviet countries.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at things from the binary standpoint of like East versus West, or you know, the Russian and China alliance versus like the Western alliance, if you want to look things in that kind of binary, you know, Ukraine is definitely aligned with the West.
I mean, we often do that on this podcast.
I know. And I'm trying to, like, you know, look for the gray areas here.
Sure.
Just because that's what they present us as the binary. So you just kind of talk about it. But we've talked about enough to kind of, like, you know, like, talk about, like, well, and also you're talking about this. Like, what's the overlap with him wanting to open up a school for, like, Ukrainian refugees?
Oh, is it a school? Maybe that makes more sense.
What'd you say?
I was going to say a church, but a school makes way more sense.
Well, he's a priest, so a church, you know.
A church is a school.
A church is a school, right? So there's the overlap. Is like, the UK is one of, and this is a BBC story, and he's in the UK, but the UK is one of Ukraine's biggest allies in the conflict, and so...
The cynical part of my brain is now that he sees that he's in the spotlight, he could further politicize this whole moment by like bringing in the U word, aka Ukraine.
Well, I think really this is a way to want to appease like the British government to be like, why wouldn't you grant me asylum status? I'm out
here paying it forward, baby.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. Big time for that government's interests.
Yeah.
So.
I do love a dissident, politically dissident priest.
Yeah, totally. That's fun.
That's like one of the best aspects of, he's Catholic, right? Obviously, he's a Cuban priest.
Totally.
That's one of my favorite like aspects of like Catholicism is, I mean, granted it's really modern, but that like Dorothy Day strain of like social justice. And there is like a legacy within the church of that.
Yeah. And priests get a bad rap because of all the molesting,
you know,
and stuff. Yeah.
Pedophilia.
That doesn't, and, you know, one hashtag not all cops, not all priests, I guess, right? Like,
I mean, definitely.
You get my benefit of the doubt until you don't. But I just, anyone who has to seek asylum status, I already feel bad for you because that means that things beyond your control seriously affected your life. And
yeah, not to mention there were like people trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with machetes and one picture I thought I saw was I saw a guy that I thought was holding a hammer and I was like, Jesus, like,
yeah,
it's like, give him guns. It's like, I don't know, Jules. I don't know if that's the solution.
And on the Cuban crackdown, it's been condemned by Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and Amnesty International, just to show Amnesty International was also critical of Ukraine. and their role in the conflict, or some of their tactics they were using against Russia. So just to show that, like, Amnesty International is like,
we love a nuanced queen.
Yeah, yeah. And Amnesty is a gorgeous name. So
shit, I gotta text her family member that and be like, okay, maybe not Italia.
Amnesty
International.
We've come up with two beautiful baby girl names on this podcast so far.
Yeah.
Do we have a third in us? We'll find out.
We'll find out.
But that's
fuck, how do we to like make me feel a bunch of pressure now?
Don't worry about it. Let the name come to you. What are your thoughts on the priest, on the padre?
I don't have any set opinion on it. I mean, obviously I don't want him to get hurt. The mm-hmm. same way, if I know you didn't, I don't know that he didn't do anything, but you know, there's no reason for me to like root against the guy. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, you know, as always, I have that nuanced point of view where I'm like, maybe he brought in Ukraine, you know?
Yeah, totally.
To get a book deal.
What'd you smuggle? Yeah. Like, but you know, that's just like letting your imagination kind of go away.
Yeah. And that's because I want a book deal and like to end up as a host on The View. So why totally. Wouldn't he? It's but, like, well, maybe not all priests want that. Hashtag not all priests.
And I think we just need more outspoken priests, like, or just like anti-government priests who are willing to throw them along.
Yeah, because historically they've kind of held down the party line. Huh?
Exactly, right? Right. We want some dissident priests in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Going to the Vatican is like wild. Have you been?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swiss guards everywhere.
Because I went to a Jesuit.
Of it in a way.
I went to a Jesuit school, and it goes back to that Dorothy Day rhetoric where they're like, oh, stand in solidarity with the poor and preferential option for the poor. Yeah. And then you go to the Vatican, and you're like, this is the Death Star, like, dipped in gold. it's gorgeous, but it's just like, dude, I think there's, like, kind of a break with your messaging on this one.
It's like if you put an offshore bank account in the Bahamas, but just, like, made it visual. Like, what does a tax shelter look like? Like, I guess in a bank account in the Bahamas, it's just a bunch of numbers. This is what it would look like if you were just like, make it into buildings and art. And it's wild.
And I do like the opulence of Catholicism more than like the Protestant Lutheran aesthetic.
It's not too like colonial for you in a way?
Well, I like Spanish architecture.
So like, who's to say that the Crusades maybe helps the Middle East artistic scene a little bit?
No, I love Saltillo tiles and all that stuff.
That's not an excuse to...
I'm saying the aesthetic of things that came from Spanish colonialism, I find pleasing, but the actual legacy of it is obviously disgusting.
What about
we say as we like sit on Chumash territory, okay? I'll do what Outfest does and do like a, what is it when you recognize the tribe?
Like every tribe that year.
There's land recognition.
Right.
We should start our episode with the land recognition.
For the Chumash tribe. Let's just find out what land is this... historically?
I think the Chumash tribe.
Okay, all right. So then every episode we're reporting from Deaf News Podcast in the Chumash tribe territory in California. Well, cool.
I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets asylum. And right now he's still in Cuba.
I want a Da Vinci Code thing to happen. I want him to like be running through cathedrals, being chased by government agents, meeting friends along the way and professors.
This man right here.
Why not?
His glasses are going to fall right off his face.
Well, not like
smash on a cobblestone.
But Robert Langdon wasn't an action. You know, the guy that Tom Hanks played, he was a professor. He's just like aged.
He's not real, is he?
No.
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. I want this guy to have, you know, like be a little more real life, you know, slightly more aged, slightly slower Robert Langdon.
I can't believe Tom Hanks had that silly ass long hair. That's all I can think of when I think of that movie.
It felt pretty unnecessary.
So unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's a great book. I thought the movie did it very,
I think
very little
time,
justice.
At its time, that role was the most auditioned for role in like Hollywood history.
Really?
Every leading man wanted that.
That's a fun
question.
And it
turned into like a mediocre movie. It wasn't that good.
I know. Who would you cast as Robert Langdon?
I mean, Tom Hanks might have been the best guess. I just don't know if any thing would have saved that movie.
I almost want like a Kevin Kline.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be really good.
I don't know. He's a little more aristocratic.
Yeah. Tom Hanks is almost like a little too everyman.
Folksy.
To be like this. No, you're right. You're right. Kevin Kline.
Yeah. I'd say let's be casting directors, but nothing's in production. So.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. You're like doing your own fantasy casting of the Da Vinci Code, mm-hmm. right? We're kind of like living in your world. So we might as well skip all the steps and just go to the world according to Jules.
Let's go there. That's the kind of world I want to live in.
Because this is where I will read Julian a headline, get his unfiltered thoughts for 30 to 60 seconds. No thought going into these, into the response, okay?
Just not hard. Comes out. Not hard for this firecracker of a brain.
All right. So your first story, Trina, can you pull up the Burger King one? Burger King must face lawsuit claiming its Whoppers are too small. People are feeling misled by its advertising, and it's actually getting traction in the courts. Your thoughts?
I definitely don't think a Whopper is too small. I think maybe it's a misnomer. It's not a Whopper. Right. Whopper implies like something grotesque, mm-hmm. you know, like a Whopper. It almost has like sexual innuendos to it. I'm curious to hear where this lawsuit was filed, because I bet it was from someone very overweight that that drove their truck to the county courthouse and was like, I'd like to file a lawsuit. that's my time.
And the clerk was bored that day, and they're like, I mean, fuck it. Let's see how far this gets. Because Burger King demanded this lawsuit get thrown out, and the judge said that the claim had legitimacy. So it's actually now going to be going, I don't know, to trial or to plea or whatever. We don't know. But yeah, this lawsuit is indeed moving forward.
Only in the land of the brave.
It is brave on principle to file this lawsuit, because it does show a certain shamelessness.
Yeah.
Like, you are going on public record being like, I have this little shame.
You know how all the first wives always champion a specific issue?
Do they?
Oh, yeah, the, like, oh, Melania first, went with bullying.
No. I was stupid.
Laura Bush was
of,
reading because she was a librarian.
I was thinking of the First Wives Club.
No, sir. Another Molotov cocktail you cannot toss into this
we
delicate gay house.
Another.
Because I'll start quoting that movie from beginning to end,
yeah,
motherfucker.
Okay, go talk about the first ladies of the United States first, and then we'll talk about
not First Wives Club. We don't have enough time for the latter.
Yeah.
But
we only have 40 minutes left.
Every first wife tries to champion an issue. I say tries because they're not always successful. They're mm-hmm. seldom successful. Michelle Obama's, I was so on board for.
Initially.
It was about changing nutrition.
Exactly.
For children. Mm-hmm. And then big.
When they were in office.
Big Agro came after her.
Exercise, you fat fuck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She shifted the paradigm onto the child and not this yeah. really predatory industry.
All that from Monsanto money.
Probably. And death threats. Have you seen Michael Clayton? I would not be surprised if, like, that's the kind of lobby that kills, man. I'll say it.
Yeah. Take that, big food. but it's true. You know, it's not true.
Yeah. So I just, I just think food here is, like, too big.
Yeah.
And I had two different kinds of ice cream at the AMC theater yesterday. One of which was Nestle, which I'm trying to boycott that brand because they buy up like water reserves in Africa. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're gnarly, man.
They're an evil
company. But boy, do I love dibs at the movie theater.
Dibs is your vice when it comes to Nestle.
Yeah. I don't even drink the water unless I'm like, of course, in like the desert of Joshua Tree. Then I'm like, fine, bitch. Give me the Nestle Pure Life.
I'll donate to Africa later.
Yeah.
I guess if you had to survive, I won't judge you for drinking Nestle water.
Yeah, but I try to avoid it.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah.
So afterward, I did have guilt, especially because the second ice cream I bought was Haagen-Dazs, and we stan a small-scale European company.
Are they Dutch?
And Haagen-Dazs, isn't that German?
Maybe.
We just showed our asses.
Well, it's close enough.
Just because they're white-passing doesn't mean we have to be insensitive about the nuances between their cultures.
Sorry.
Not white-passing, they're white.
Yeah, sorry. I don't think any. Well, maybe like there's a handful of like hardcore Haagen-Dazs people who are screaming at this right now. But we'll figure it out later. Trina will Google it for us if Haagen-Dazs is German. Yeah, she nodded. Are you ready for your next story? While Trina.
So I was right again in this wonderful world according to Jews.
You're never wrong. That's kind of the whole point of this.
Okay,
game.
Then what's the next headline? Let's see if we keep that streak going.
All right, Chicago TV news crew. Robbed at gunpoint while reporting on a string of robberies. Your thoughts?
I need way more information than that.
Okay.
But I do think there's like a Central Park 5 component in this that's kind of baiting, and I'm not going to go for it.
Well, so here's kind of the details.
I'm not going to comment on Chicago in general.
Chicago,
as like
anything related to Chicago
crime. I'm not going to call it an unabashed place of crime.
Okay, it sounds like you kind of just did. But
I had a great time there.
Okay, because I get it. It can be loaded when talking about this. But the fucking dramatic irony of the situation, reporting on robberies in a neighborhood and being robbed.
Like, if you're asking if that's lost on me, obviously it's not.
Okay.
But then that begs the question, are they connected?
Well, I guess if it's just an area where, like, the reporting is don't go here, and then while you're reporting on people not to go there, you yourself are robbed at gunpoint. And here are the details. And the details actually made me, like, not, like, I feel how I feel about it, but it just got, okay, so they were filming just before 5 a.m. in Chicago's Westtown neighborhood.
That's already playing with fire.
That's what
Chicago
I'm saying.
Fire.
And that, what else can you say about it? But that's when I was like, okay, well, those are witching hours, you know? So you're going in the belly of the beast.
I also have a question for you as someone that's been on sets.
Uh-huh.
How much money are you bringing to set? I know it's maybe a little different when you're on the go and you just have your wallet on you. When you're Vance, the camera van driver, I get it.
To set?
Like, yeah, like, why would they have a bunch of money to begin with if they're on the clock?
I don't know how much money. Yeah,
this ain't Disney World, homie.
Well, they probably just, like, maybe stole the cameras and stuff and, like, sold them or flipped them or
I'm so not a camera person. I just stand in front of them.
You're just like, hey, what do I do with this?
Yeah. I'm like, God, it's heavy. It's like, no way, they're expensive.
This is useless. Yeah, people would pay money for this. Yeah, so that's, I think in a lot of those cases, they're just like, well, you know, you're literally presenting like thousands of dollars like out in the open at four, you know, like not quite 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So, that, yeah, I feel like.
Once again, the media believes it's above reproach. And I so put ourselves in that
are
category.
Are you blaming now? Are you like, well, shouldn't have been there?
No, I obviously have empathy, though, for people that are robbing in a way. Because I'm just like, frugal times. Even though it is scary and it happens a lot, especially here in LA, have you heard of like groups of like 200 people at a time, like storming Saint Laurent?
Yeah.
Taking everything.
Yeah. That shit's wild.
And someone told me it's because you can't send just one individual to jail or it has to be over a certain amount of money. And so I don't know, actually the logic of this doesn't make sense. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, I know. I think there, but it's been happening a lot, you know, so like nationwide. And, yeah, it's just like kind of when you see those videos, it's like just sad and scary, you know, there's no other way to put it.
Yeah. And I know I shouldn't be like standing Biden because I don't or like even really voting for him at this point. Mm-hmm. But God, I really hope he wins because the alternatives are so scary.
Yeah.
But then I hear, you know, about this string of robberies and inflated prices and like this. And of course, he's not the only president to whittle away at the middle class. I mean, this has been in the works now for at least 30 years, 40 right. years. Mm-hmm. But
he did tweet recently that no one's been a more supportive union president in history than him.
I would like to see this.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Because I know
back
he also
up.
Busts unions.
It's pure rhetoric. It makes no sense.
Did an Amtrak Joe bust a railroad union?
I mean,
so
over,
much for the
over
moniker.
A 45 year career in Congress, like you're gonna bust a lot of unions.
Yeah, the guy that went after
he was
Anita
in Congress
Hill.
While the unions were in serious decline. Coincidence? I think not. Where were you, Joe Biden? We know where.
Yeah. That being said, guys, if you're asking me who I think you should vote for, and it's not Marion Williamson or Cornel West.
Cornel West might be the closest to having my vote right now.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I think, what's the downside? It's Cornel. What? You can't say he's not qualified. He's a fucking professor. Like, he's a doctor.
Yeah. He's pretty consistently great with
yeah,
what he says.
Yeah, I know. He like, what misstep, what interest has he ever been linked to that's, like, sketchy?
Right.
Yeah.
Next headline.
Yeah. We don't want to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, and again, I just think we're going to be blue in the face talking about this shit in a year.
We're
red in the face. You never know with me.
You never know. All right. Well, I mean, that was the last headline. That was The World According to Jules.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
I'm stepping out of the portal. I'm exiting the world. Ooh, it's scary and cold out here.
Yeah.
It's like leaving the womb.
What do you want to do next?
Let's do, wait, what segment do we have next?
Bogey, bogey, bum, bum. Bogey, 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 bum, bum. What do we do in this part of the show?
In this part of the show, I read Brian a headline, and then he has to play a song that the headline reminds him of.
Okay.
This week's headline, there was a writer from Desperate Housewives back in the day. Did you ever watch?
I did. My parents watched it, and
You've You've been an ally for so long.
I have been, even before it was cool. But, yeah, in the I watched, I think, the first two seasons when I was like, you know,
honestly,
early high
that's
school.
You saw the right ones.
I know.
Because then it jumps forward like 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, and I didn't. That's when I.
But I'm not here to criticize a show that was actually pretty formative for me. Mm-hmm. I'm here to talk about
America.
Well, so this writer that worked on the show named Patty Lynn alleged in a new book that the writing staff wasn't welcome on set. Which, of course, this is a hot button headline, given that writers are on strike because they feel undervalued, and frankly, they are greatly undervalued. Mm-hmm. But she had a few fun details because I'm such a chismosa. She said
salacious details from the cast of Desperate Housewives. Who's at 11? Yeah, go ahead.
I know, same as it ever was. The writers weren't barred from the set, but we weren't exactly welcome. Usually we'd only see the cast at table reads, where we'd sit quietly in the back and try not to make eye contact with Terry Hatcher.
I knew it was going to be Terry Hatcher, too.
I bet Nicholas Sheridan could also give it as good as she got it from Terry.
Yeah, but I think she, just with the way she carries herself, I was like, she cares about the whole production and the craft.
Nicholas
like
Sheridan?
That. I just feel her, like, knowing the whole product, you know.
And her dad's that. Cujo. She was born into it. She had that right. nepotistic advantage that Terry Hatcher... And I do have a theory that people that aren't humble,
you know,
and people that aren't humbled maybe sometimes come from humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Or are really religious because they're like, if it isn't God, then how did I make it out of the hood? You know, how am I not a multi Grammy winning, whatever.
And then you think like you're an instrument of God to the point that like that gives
that
you, permission
you run for president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yikes. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he's on that. God told me to run for president, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Okay.
Yeah, He really rubs me the wrong way. But another thing that Patty Lynn alleges in this new book is that, well, so one thing that I found interesting was she talked about the creator of the show, Mark Cherry.
Yeah.
Fellow gay of mine. Mm-hmm. But she said, one day at lunch, the topic of Margaret's show came up and someone mentioned All American Girl, her short-lived sitcom about a Korean-American family. Mark turned to me and said, Patty, you should write a show like that. Patty Lynn, she's Asian. She said, I love Margaret's show, but please don't lump us together just because we're both Asian women in show business. Mm, mm. I think that's not as egregious as not being able to look at one of the actors. Like, not, I don't know. I'm sure Mark Cherry was problematic in a lot of ways.
Sure, yeah.
But maybe he genuinely thought she should write a show that show.
Like, it came from a good place, I think, right? Like,
yeah, and also being like, if you want to, especially because the landscape was different at the time, where it's like, hey, if it works for this Asian girl,
credit to her for being like probably early to the table as far as calling that stuff out when it was happening. Now I think.
Well, now she's calling it out.
Right, now she is. But I mean, like, but she claims that she brought it up when he told her that, like back in the day, right?
Yeah.
That would have been a big move to tell your boss, like, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Especially if she is like the only Asian female writer on that show and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, like she's early to the table to like, in terms of calling that behavior out, like back when Mark Cherry did it, which would have been like 20 years ago at this point.
Now. Right. She also says that the staff was given busy work of writing the marginally funny material, which like shots fired. I agree. Desperate Housewives isn't that funny, but I'm like, now you're just being petty, girl. Like,
right.
She's
right.
clearly like upset about the
she's
whole experience.
She's using her writing to like getting those like marginally funny zings and stuff.
I
like
guess.
That.
Yeah. And that calling it marginally funny to me isn't very marginally funny.
Right.
It's just plain true.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be marginally funny. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But it was.
But so one other thing that I want to bring up, Mark Cherry declared that the staff needed to, quote, gangbang the draft without the knowledge of the original writer. The part of that I have an issue with is not that he said gangbang the script, as you could have guessed. I'm pro using that as a verb for literally everything.
Okay.
That kid gangbanged a book, man. Those kids, I'm sorry. Look at me using it all wrong. Those kids gangbanged a book.
How would a group of kids gang?
That's why, like, use it as just an umbrella verb for, like, they did it.
Okay. Keep going.
I hope that's my hottest take of the day. But he said, but the part that I have an issue with is that he wanted them to gangbang the draft without the knowledge of the original writer. Now, that's dirty. I bet writers' rooms probably did that a lot.
Yeah. This seems like kind of run-of-the-mill problematic TV writer room behavior. Not the most salacious.
Yeah.
I think something that we already knew was like, and just because so many TV shows about pop culture have made references to Terry Hatcher being difficult, that like, that's probably the least surprising part of this.
Which brings me to our cover
the
of the Vanity Fair issue.
Item of the
no,
week.
Not quite. Not oh, okay. quite. I want to bring
oh,
up that cover
boogie,
again.
Boogie, bum, bum. Right.
Yeah.
We're back.
Brian was like, don't smoke before this. It always throws you off. But I'm just fine. And you've been tripping. Okay. Look at that cover. Mm-hmm. Brian and I totally had a moment. It was very Nicolette Sheridan, Terry Hatcher when we came in here. You'll probably notice, listener, if you're looking at this video, that I'm in a different chair today. Brian was like, I think I want that one because this one washes me out. And I was like, and I think I want that one because that one will make me look thinner. We were so like the Desperate Housewives Vanity Fair shoot, Brian. And yeah. I wanted to bring up that parallel after it happened. I was like, I need to shoehorn that.
But hopefully, I hope, you know, that shoot was as harmonious as our switching.
You're right, because the difference there is that we actually agreed to the positions that we moved to.
Pretty easy.
Whereas, I think Nicolette Sheridan wanted to be, I don't know. I don't remember who was fighting.
I wonder if they all resent Eva for being the centerfold in the middle.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I this think is where I look at Eva Longoria's sign to figure out how agreeable she would be on set.
I think this is perfectly staged. And it probably
It's one of the most iconic images of the Bush era.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
I get it.
Eva Longoria's a Pisces. So yeah, maybe she was like, whatever, guys. Like, I guess they were like, so we want Eva, the short little cute one in the front. And she's probably like, works for me. I hope that's cool with you guys. And everyone's like, fuck, I can't tell her nothing.
So and that'll happen because she's a Pisces?
Well, just kind of, yeah, goes with the flow, is a little more, I don't know. I don't see her, like, asserting herself and pissing people off is what I mean to say.
She did direct that Hot Cheetos movie.
Yeah, I kind of had it on in the background.
Yeah.
I auditioned for that.
I wanted to like it more than
I Isn't did. That funny? I was like, dude, I'm not the guy.
Well, who was it? Who'd you
audition the main guy.
You auditioned for the lead of the Cheetos
yes.
movie?
Oh yes. My gosh. Shout out to my manager who fucking retired in April. She got me some good ones.
Damn.
I know.
Damn.
I know. So anyway, let's turn a page on that yeah. idea in my brain, because then I'll spiral.
Okay, okay.
So what song does
no
this
spiral zone.
Does this very extensive news story?
You know what?
And well, again, I'm using headline kind of loosely, but it's a headline. Desperate sure. Housewives is a cultural mainstay.
Sure. Here it is. Pretty straightforward. Bad Girls by Donna Summer.
Talking about the sad girl. Sad girl. Hey.
Because these housewives, they're desperate. They're bad girls. They're sad girls. We're talking about them. And
desperate housewives, desperate writers, too.
And yeah, just.
But listen, if it's a check, hey, this is my song.
I don't know a lot of your Boogie Boogie Bum Bum songs sometimes.
Well, the reason this song is called Sour Cherry, because the creator's name is Mark Cherry, and he's being a sour little cherry.
Okay, creative.
The reason why I know this song and you don't is because it was featured in Gossip Girl in 2008.
Point Julian.
It's a great song. It's great for the treadmill. Sour Cherry by The Kills.
I hear the treadmill cadence.
It's a good tempo for it.
Okay.
Keeps your step going.
Good note. Put that on my workout playlist.
Please do.
Yeah. Well, that wraps it up for... Boogie Boogie Bum Bum. Thank you for that, Julian. And I think there's really one more segment.
Yeah.
That would be your
gay item of the week. We have to do it to a gay song or something. We're speaking of bad girls. Beep, beep. Ah, toot, toot. Gay item of the week.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Which, by the way, I always say beep, beep, toot, toot. Have you noticed that if I want you to, like, move over or scoot?
Yes,
I'm like, beep,
I
beep, toot,
have.
Toot.
I have.
I've had a few friends.
That is one of your gayer traits, for sure.
I have multiple friends now that have that in their vernacular. Even
really?
And my brother, too.
That's so...
Who once again makes some minstrel
I think it also just says something about your character that you tell people that they need to move so often.
Well, it's a cute... That's funny.
But you...
I'm a restless individual, motherfucker.
You do it disarmingly. You do it, like, a harmless way. We're like,
yeah. That's funny. That's and we're going back to astrology. That's my Taurus moon with my Pisces sun.
Because I never tell people to move. Like, I never do. I'd sooner like walk all the way around like a room just to like not inconvenience someone.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think that may be a fault of yours.
Really?
Yeah, you got to fight. You got to fight for what you want and sometimes need. A bitch is tired. I'm not trying to go all the way around the table.
No.
Anyway, when Brian asked me to bring in a gay item of the week in the days of yore, when this was all but a sterling, a little baby sterling bird, I thought he meant a physical item of the week. Mm. And so ever since then, and he was like, no, dumbass, I meant a news item. So now I bring in both. The physical item of the week, I'd like to start with. The gay physical item of the week is my prescription of doxycycline that I left in a cabinet in my bathroom next to a cabinet that has a butt plug in it.
So you didn't have it. You don't have it on hand.
I don't have it on hand.
That's okay. I feel, I'm almost glad you didn't, because I feel like if you brought it, you might also be tempted to have brought the butt plug.
I wouldn't bring my butt plug.
No, that's sacred, right?
That's sacred. And that's we're trying to post these on TikTok.
Yeah, that's NSFW for sure.
Yeah.
Not safe for work. Yeah, you got it.
I think work now has become so tame and probably remote that there's no need to use that acronym anymore.
I feel like I don't see it as much.
Yeah.
Because it, I think the remote thing has a lot to do with it, too.
So it is SFW, because W equals H.
Yeah, exactly.
WFH.
Yeah. When was the last time you had to use the butt plug? Or use it?
Brian.
What?
My mom listens to this motherfucker Friday. no, not Friday. Not Friday. Saturday.
That's cool.
Saturday.
So more recent.
You got to lube it up. But first, if you're a good gay, you douche. And I actually enjoy that. I just squat like in the bathtub process and swing low, sweet charity. Talk about letting the rain fall down and wake my dreams. And let it wash away my sanity.
I like want to ask questions, but I'm afraid of what's going
to
happen.
I'm pleased to see Trin in the corner of my eye, like convulsing with laughter.
I think
it's
she
douching.
Is.
Oh, maybe not. Okay.
Okay. She's nodding.
Now she's just giving
nodding.
A polite nod. Add a way for me to like.
No, she is laughing.
Okay.
She is. Okay. I thought you were killing, but then I looked over. I was like, are we making her cry? Like, is this disturbing?
Well, I hope that wouldn't be so triggering.
No.
There is a lot of stigma around butt stuff. I get it.
Yeah.
There's Grandma Bibi, my dad's mom, who you know quite well. Well, that's funny. Well, there's a like bathroom art in her ranch house that's like a guy squatting. Or it almost looks like he's like springing up, and he's like, but he's bare ass, and it's like a hand drawn illustration.
Oh, yeah.
And he has spurs on, and it says, "Don't squat in your spurs." And anytime I think of butt phobia, I think of that totally innocuous piece of wall art and how it like in a way kind of like makes me feel othered because I put dicks up me.
Yeah, it's not innocuous, right? It is.
There is something like coded and homophobic about it. Also, the Peter Rabbit movie that starred James Corden had like a whole bit about like how one of the characters gets a carrot shoved up their butt. And I'm like, this is like so weird to like shame butt penetrative stuff in a kid's movie with James Corden.
That thought already crossed my mind, I promise you. But yeah, I just never we're blowing this shit wide open, because I never saw Peter Rabbit, but no way would I've ever thought that there's homophobic messaging and anti butt penetrative messaging in the Peter Rabbit film starring James Corden.
I want out. I want out of this matrix when those are movies.
On my simulation.
It was in the trailer. I did not see Peter Rabbit 2.
Okay. But it was trailer worthy. That says
they put it in
more.
A trailer. Yeah, I know. You're right. It does.
Yeah.
So that's the physical item. And so the reason why doxycycline, I know people of different sexual orientations take it. The reason why, for me, it's a gay item is because now it's used as a post-exposure prophylaxis.
Mm.
So it could retroactively mitigate chlamydia, if you get it. Or no, I'm sorry. Gonorrhea and syphilis, I think, are the main ones that it retroactively treats.
That's good.
And so you could take it up to 72 hours after exposure. I took 2 last night.
Just in case.
Sorry again, Mom. She knows when I douched and she knows when I took my doxy.
I mean, she's like, at least he's douching and doxing. You know? I think that's what every mother wants for
douching
their son.
Douching and doxing.
Yeah. Every mother wants
Don't make son. Me suggest that as an episode title.
I think it already is.
Well, we also had a really good one that I wanted to bring up in the moment, but I forgot. But anyway, we'll listen back. We'll figure it out. We always do.
Yeah.
But so the gay news item of the week is not nearly as fun as talking about fun ways to mitigate STDs.
Okay.
So California has actually become a hotbed of like looking at the way there is like gay friendly curriculum. I don't even know how to say what I'm trying to fucking say. Mm-hmm. Like, people have tried to ban books that talk about gender theory.
The don't say gay
Exactly. Yeah. The ramifications of Don't Say Gay are now here in California.
Right, yeah.
And recently what happened, and this is pretty cool, actually, California sued the Chino Valley School District for forcing teachers to out their trans and non-binary students.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, forcing teachers to out... That's such a bad sentence.
Yeah. Not to mention, at a way... Like, if you actually don't want them to be trans, like, then don't make it so charged.
Right.
Like, be like, okay, sure, yeah, that's your label, kiddo.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you say. You know, like, by the teacher reporting...
If they're not really trans, they'll snap out of it in, like, a week or whatever, you know, like, later
yeah,
on.
Like, yeah. If you actually want to, like, try to quash that, like, yeah, minimize it...
They'll fucking trans it up to spite you, you know, just like, well, fuck that, you know, if you're saying I'm not, then of course I am, like, you don't know me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think, I don't know, and like, teachers shouldn't have to label their students any one way.
Exactly, like, forcing teachers to out trans and non-binary students, what a, like, a school district, this was on the directive of a school district.
Yeah,
that's just so knowingly harmful.
I know.
And it's just going to affect kids in a way that you can't even fathom.
Have you been to Chino?
I don't think so.
I haven't either.
What's up with it?
I don't know. I just know it's like inland California and I never go there. Yeah. But
maybe I pass through.
I'm rooting for them, you know, to like get it together and not pass policies like this.
I just want the children to have peace.
I want the children to have peace and figure out who they are on their own terms.
And you don't need, you know, it's almost like with abortion, like, keep your fucking legislation off of my body, my health, my choices.
Yeah.
You know, keep your fucking...
And then my conservative brain is like, and that does go both ways.
It does. You know? Keep your goddamn government out of my goddamn trans kid.
You know? But also don't take kids away if their parents aren't willing to affirm their gender reassignment surgery. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm already cast as like a Joe Rogan type when you say anything remotely like that. Mm. I'm going to a concert pretty soon to see Roshan Murphy, mm-hmm, and she said something that was viewed as anti-trans, that was viewed as transphobic, and go figure, I'm going with one of my non-binary friends. So mm-hmm, I'm like, well, I may be going to that one alone.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you're going with a non-binary friend?
To this person's concert who was recently accused.
Recently accused. Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that'll be an interesting choice.
I know. I don't even know how to talk
to
them about
Louis
it. I don't even know how to talk to them about
before
it.
Before he came out, you know, masturbating.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, do I still see it?
Well, I
You're
read
going to.
And I read.
And
her,
I don't blame. I'm not judging you.
I don't. I'm not trying.
That's
to
for the list.
Pivot away. Yeah. but I read her original comment, and she talks about, yeah, just kind of, and that's the thing about any kind of reactive legislature on either side is by reacting to it, you make it more real too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Like on a philosophical level,
you
even
need the
like,
counteraction. You
yeah,
know, the counterweight, the action and reaction. I mean, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that's just, I don't know, interesting. Yeah, and I don't know what I expected you to say about this. Once again, it did occur to me that we're like, we're kind of ending this on a downer. But it is cool that California is suing. Mm-hmm. I don't really know why
even
you
even then, that's just another trauma for the kids, right?
Exactly. Like, why would you want the school district to have less money?
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's another conservative talking
point.
That's
going to affect your trans and non-binary students even worse.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the other conservative talking point I was going to say is instead of defund the police, I'm like, don't defund it, reform it.
Yeah.
Demilitarize it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm always like, and I guess, yeah, give it less funding,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah. There's probably some money to be saved here and there.
I'm sure. I mean, their budget's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, California. It's going down, even on this coast.
It just seems like we can't get away from any of it.
I know. And it adds to everyone's collective derangement syndrome, just all of this.
Collective derangement syrome.
You know?
I haven't heard that, but
even though
it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Even though it is cool that at least a conversation is now happening. Like, I was rewatching Sex and the City recently, and the only, like, trans or trans-adjacent characters that you see are pretty much used as, like, comic foils.
Like props. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I suppose. I mean...
But a stand-in for a trans person. Like
or
like
they'll get actual, like, you know.
Okay, like roles. Yeah. I guess I was doing Sex and the City dirty.
Yeah, because it really, man, especially compared to Just Like That. But yeah, it was interesting. I was like, huh, I wonder why there aren't enough depictions of them. Because it is New York City. And, like, this is, like, a very, like, queer-centric show. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to me that these conversations weren't even happening.
Yeah.
You know, as recently as when we started college 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So
I feel like the last 5 to 10 years especially is when it's really...
Right. And so it's kind of this whole idea that, like, you can't have a war without blood spilled. And I mean war in this sense in a positive way. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
The fight for more representation and for...
Civil rights was a war.
Yeah. And it's going down here in California, which I've always accused of as being, like, more volatile than it appears. But that may also be because I'm ensconced in my days at the Chateau Marmont and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I zip around the hills in my 2014 Honda Civic.
You live among the California Trump voters that do live in L.A. because they are out there.
They are out there. I don't think they're actually in my specific neighborhood in Hollywood. No. But they're a few miles over in Brentwood.
Yeah, exactly. They're super close, though.
Yeah. We share the same ridgeline.
Yeah, no. Yeah. A lot of conservative people in California. A lot of conservative liberal people everywhere you go. But, yeah, these kind of, like, you know, what we deem as, like, liberal holdouts and stuff like that. That's the thing. They're very diverse.
Yeah.
And liberal places tend to be diverse. And you got to get along with people. So, you know, you got to get along with your neighbors. And
I mean, I had culture shock when I moved here and figured out that, like, a lot of people don't even know the names of their own gardeners or landscapers. Like, they're just, they get them through contractors. Mm-hmm. And, like, growing up in a border town, like, we would have people that worked at our houses live at our houses.
Right.
Relationships. Yeah. Total Spanglish vibes, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe even more enmeshed.
Yeah, that's it. I remember.
Because Spanglish is like, that's like a very white family. You know, we're still like half Cuban, so. Yeah.
So you're, you know, communicating with them in Spanish and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and I remember Latin Graciela.
Right, and California just seems to have
this. They felt like aunts, you know?
Yeah, or like big sisters.
Yeah, totally.
And because they were pretty young, too.
They were, yeah.
But, I think there's just this hypocrisy here sometimes where it's like, oh, we're so liberal, but it's like, then why the fuck is this happening? And John Waters is a good thing that may be a nice way to tie this all up. And it kind of applies to this, I think. If children are old enough to ask about it, they're probably old enough to learn about it.
Yeah.
And that for me is like kind of a hard and fast rule that I would live by as a parent or someone that would be trusted to shape care. Children's minds.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if and when I have a kid.
Oh, you'll totally be a dad.
Yeah.
And your daughter's name is going to be Idalia.
I'll just call her Guantanamo Bay.
Please do.
After the
pod. It could be our Instagram, actually, which is Guantanamo Bay's pod.
Yes, Guantanamo Bay's pod on Instagram.
You could name her after our TikTok.
GB pod.
GB pod.
GB? GB? GB pod. You get in this room here, young lady.
That was so satisfying. Those three syllables.
Yeah.
GB pod.
I think that's the leader so far. Y'all are listening to this on a streaming platform, but follow us wherever you do stream your podcasts. Rate us 5 stars on Spotify. If you are going to book a podcast session, recording session, you have a podcast of your own, do it at the Deaf Noodles Comedy Club.
For real.
Thank you, Trina, our wonderful producer. From everyone here at the Guantanamo Bay's podcast, thank you and good night.
Hasta la próxima. Da, 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 da. Yeah.